Johnny, the Noah Syndergaard revenge tour happened last night, and after pitching just 2/3 of an inning last week, Thor goes 8 innings against the Rangers last night, and the yes. Angels light up the halo, and so you and I are going to talk all about that, and we're going to chat about the Angels and what they need at each position. Do they need more offense, or is it better if they have more defense? Plus, we're going to talk about this guy named Albert Pujols and the effect that he had on the team and how it impacted players that were on our team. You're Locked On with Mike and John, and this is Locked On Angels.
You are Locked On Angels, your daily Los Angeles Angels podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Angels your first listen of the day. We're free and available wherever you get your podcast. If you're listening on the audio side, a rate and review actually helps people find the pod. And if you give us 5 stars, you get a gold star, okay? And then if you're watching on the video side, you can subscribe and click the bell to be notified every time a new episode drops.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Locked On Angels. You got the Frisch Brothers here with you, a.k.a. the Super Halo Bros. My name is John, and that's my brother Mike.
And my name is Mike, and that's my brother John.
Before we talk about the game, Mike and I just wanted to take a moment and pause and speak to the tragedy that happened in Texas yesterday. Mike, would you mind taking that for us?
Sure. Yesterday, 22 lives were tragically taken in the shooting at the elementary school in Uvalde, Texas, and our hearts are broken. And we grieve alongside each of those families that are not able to hug their little ones anymore. And so we are followers of Jesus. And so our prayer is that the God of comfort would bring those families comfort in this terrible, terrible moment. I know that there's more that we need to do as a country. And so I hope that we will do more. Mm-hmm. But Locked On Angels is with you, and we are praying alongside you.
Thank you for that, Mike. We know baseball is but a distraction when tragedy like this hits, and we're going to do the best we can to distract you today and focus on what we love to talk about, and that's Angels baseball. So we're going to get rolling with that conversation. Mike, my wife and I are currently traveling, so that's why I have a bit of a different setup going on here.
Yeah, are you so, in the Blair Witch Project? Because it looks like you're
I'm
in a dark
ghost
room.
Stories
oh, now
here.
You're really dark. If you're watching on the YouTube side, it's a whole different experience than
it
on the audio
is.
Side.
Yeah. I'm doing the best I can with what I have. But let's talk about this game last night. Thor versus Dane Dunning, and Syndergaard was brilliant. 8 innings pitched, 4 hits, 1 run, 5 Ks. No walks. So how good was he? Well, last week it took him 42 pitches to get out of, to get 2 outs in the first against the Rangers. So this was the Noah Syndergaard revenge game, and he threw his 42nd pitch in the 4th inning. Plus, he had some solid defense. That double play in the 7th that came right back at him, he threw it to Luis Ranjifo at 2nd, and then they were able to double up Cole Calhoun at first. Man, that is the Syndergaard that we're used to, right?
That's the guy that we want. That's the guy that we have been expecting, right? And that's the guy that we've seen so far this year. I think last week was an anomaly. And I think his key to success last night was 2 things, John. One, he pitched to contact, and that defense came up big behind him. But we've talked about this before. No walks. When he doesn't walk anybody, when Sandoval doesn't walk anybody, when Ohtani doesn't walk anybody, or they're really low on their walks, they just look so dominant
absolutely.
On the mound. And
absolutely.
Last night, Thor looked great, and it was so much fun to watch him. And what was difficult is the end of the game when Loop came in. It was like, guys, what are we doing?
What
I think
doing
my text
here,
to
guys?
You was,
come on.
Guys,
and
we, said, we can't do this.
Seriously? Come on, fellas. Yeah. We can do better than this. So,
but listen, the Angels came through. Their offense actually came through. And what I loved about their offense last night is that it wasn't this huge show of strong offense, right? Like they got runs when it was needed, and they did what good teams do. Ranjifo had an RBI ground out. Wade had a bunt that scored a run from third. And then Velasquez suddenly is figured out how to hit, right?
Yeah,
he had a sacrifice fly, and this is what good teams do. But I know that your favorite moment last night, John, was Jared Walsh's 9th home run.
Walsh-a-mania,
he hit a home run off of that right field wall. And every time he hits that right field wall, I'm thinking that Garrett Anderson is probably ticked off, because how many home runs did he hit that was a double instead of a home run? And so
no kidding.
Walsh gets his ninth home run last night, and the Angels win the game 5-3, 27-17 on the season. That record looks awesome, doesn't it, John?
It really does. 10 games above 500 when normally at this time we're worried about if we're going to stay or get to 500, right?
Right. That was so that's so frustrating. Yeah, that's so frustrating.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Syndergaard didn't go for the complete game. What's up with that?
I would have kept him in, and I think that he should have stayed in that game because that guy was cruising. He had 93 pitches, I think, in the ninth. So I think I bring him back out. And I think Patrick O'Neill and Mark Gubas on the TV side, I think they thought he was going to come back out too.
Yeah.
And then they showed Joe Maddon shaking Thor's hand. And I wonder if it was just a conversation of like, you've done well, let's not wear you out.
Sure.
And you didn't pitch much in the last game. And so let's make sure that you are healthy and we're not stretching you too far. But you know me, I want to see them go the distance. I want to see them fight for victory, and I would have at least let him go back in and see what he could have done.
Absolutely. And then, you know, Loop gave up the home run, and then he got to use Raisel Iglesias, and it's like you just use two relief pitchers. Congratulations.
right. Now Raisel didn't throw too many pitches,
right,
and then get
right
to say he got one more out, which was a bit of an adventure, but I think they're going to be able to use him in today's game if necessary.
Yeah, I agree with that. So hopefully the Angels can come back out strong in this game, and Reed Detmer's on the mound. He can also have a revenge game against the Rangers. Let's sweep this two-game series. Come on.
Coming up on Locked On Angels, do you know how Pujols really affected this team? Have you ever thought about the players that actually like changed positions or were traded or moved because of Albert? Well, John and I are going to talk about those players. But first, Locked On Angels is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. With summer coming, now is a great time to prepare for the fall. A new season means new opportunity and new growth. And as your small business grows, LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it easier to find the people that you want to talk to faster and for free. You can create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond. LinkedIn Jobs gives you simple tools like screening questions that can make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so that you can quickly prioritize who you like to interview and potentially hire. And it's why small businesses actually rank LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. So LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates that you want to talk to and hire faster. And did you know that over 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn every single day? So post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonMLB. That's linkedin.com/lockedonMLB. You can post your job for free there. And remember, some terms and conditions do apply.
Well, we want to thank you for making Locked On Angels your first listen of the day. Now, for your next listen, check out the Locked On Now podcast. You're going to get recaps of MLB games with analysis from our local experts, taking fans through the season like no other network. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I'm excited to say these next words, John.
Yes.
The Angels are making a push for the playoffs.
They are.
Right? Haven't been able to say those words in a long time.
Quite some time.
And so I'm excited to say that. But there has been a lot of talk about offense and defense and who do we trade for. I mean, we're fans, so we're going to bring up all of that stuff.
Of course.
And the things that we've been wrestling with is like, who do we trade for? And if we're going to trade for arms, that's necessary. But if we were going to trade for somebody on the offensive side, for somebody in the lineup, what deals would we make? And do we need more offense or do we need more defense? And one of the players that we've been wrestling through is Velasquez, because I'm a fan, and I know that you're a fan, and his bat's coming around, but he's really staying in the lineup because of his defense, right?
Oh, correct.
And so here's the question we're going to wrestle with. You and I are going to fight back and forth on this. What is more important at each position for the Angels? Do they need offense or do they need defense? So let's start with first base, John. What do they need? Do they need offense there? Or do they need defense there?
Man, if you asked me this a couple of years ago, I would 100% say offense, because traditionally that's where one of your heavy hitters comes from first base, right?
Yeah.
But if you watch the way that Jared Walsh plays defense, like I've mentioned before, and some people even brought it up again on Twitter, Jared Walsh needs to wear some yoga pants over there because he's going to stretch out. He's going to rip a hole in his baseball pants if he's not careful.
Yes.
But man, can you just see the difference between an offensive player like Albert Pujols was meant to be? He was meant to be an offensive player, and he wasn't a bad first baseman. But
no.
Jared Walsh, I mean, those stretches he makes are a split second difference between an out or a safe call.
Right.
And so for us, I think that we're lucky that we have an offensive and defensive first baseman. But I know that doesn't answer your question. I think
you want both.
I want both, and we have both, and I'm all right with having both. But I think that if we had to examine this, I think that offense is probably the best place for a first baseman, just because they don't have to work as hard as some of the other positions. But we are fortunate to have Jared Walsh over there.
Yeah, and you can even see that in the last few games as he's come up big, right?
Oh,
even
yeah.
In last night's game with his home run. And as much as you love having a great defensive first baseman, I think that any winning team typically has a first baseman that hits really well. And so I agree with you 100%. I think we need more offense over there than defense. What about second base, John?
I was going to ask you that question, Mike. Second base, what do you think?
I actually think that second base for the Angels needs to be a defensive position. And here's why. Because we have shown to be a ground ball pitching staff. And
100%.
Even last night, Syndergaard needed his defense behind him. And so I think I would lean more defense than offense at second base. Although I'm a huge fan of some of those guys in the past, like Ryan Sandberg, who was a great offensive second baseman, or Dustin Pedroia, who was a great offensive second baseman, right? And then they brought some defense in. They almost got the Jared Walsh at second base. But I think for the Angels, they need defense up the middle. And so I think second base needs to be a position where they prioritize defense.
You want to see somebody who is an offensive second baseman right now? That's Trevor Story. He's crushing it for the Red Sox. I know we've already played the Red Sox, and they were not firing on all cylinders at that point. So
thank goodness.
I know, right? So next time we face them, it's going to be an interesting battle there. If I had to talk about third base, Mike, I love what we have in Anthony Rendon. He's a productive part of this lineup. He's hitting guys in. He's getting RBIs. He's hitting doubles, as he is wont to do. And I think that if you're going to have a third baseman, Adrian Beltre was in the house
on
Tuesday night, and that was cool to see.
Thanks for that text message.
Beltre?
Yep.
He was a very offensive third baseman, but
he was.
It didn't stop him from making some great plays over there. But I think if you had to boil it down, I think offense is the way to go at third, because I think you're right. Up the middle, especially with the kinds of pitching that we have that are relying on that ground ball, I think that we definitely need more help up the middle in terms of defense. So I'm going to go with offense at third. But it is great to see the kinds of plays that Anthony Rendon can make over there.
Yeah. And then speaking of up the middle, when I think about shortstop, I'm going to be defense, because Andrew Velasquez has proven why we need that. And then Andrelton Simmons from a few years ago has proven what a good defensive shortstop can do. And we weren't like a hater on Iglesias, but when he was playing with us, he really wasn't that great on the defensive side.
No.
And so we saw the impact there. Even though he had a lot of energy and was fun to watch and had a pretty decent bat, it was somebody that really couldn't hold it down in a strong way at short. And you're seeing Velasquez change the game.
Right.
Even when they shift in Oakland, remember that leaping catch that he had?
Yeah.
I think that we need a defensive shortstop, again, because our team, our pitching staff has proven to pitch to contact, and that's really, really important. What about left field, John?
It almost seems, on your note about shortstop, it almost seems like it's easier to save a run than to create a run sometimes.
Ah, that's a good
point. I think Jose Iglesias is a good example of that, because if the entire team is slumping and going through a cold streak and your shortstop isn't hitting, then it's harder to produce a run because there's nobody on base. Either that or you got to hit a home run. And if you're a great defensive shortstop, as we've seen with Velasquez or Simmons, then you are capable of stopping runs from scoring, and you're in a much better position to do that. So that was my thought there. But left field, I think that's a tough one. Left field, man, I'm thinking about Brandon Marsh, and I think about what he brings to the table.
You had a great game last night. That was fun to watch him.
No kidding. And GA was talking about him after the game too. So that was cool that they had GA in the house as well.
With
Marsh, man, I think if you're going to go left field, I mean, we've had good defensive left fielders in the past who couldn't hit a lick, man. I think of Matt Joyce. And as soon as he left our team, he was hitting really well, which is how it always happens for the Angels.
Become Barry Bonds Joyce.
Yeah, no kidding. I think I'm going to go with offense in left.
Okay.
And maybe that's just because I want to see Joe Adell back up.
Sure. Maybe.
I want to see his bat in the lineup. And I know that they've been running him out in left field. But man, I think I got to say offense for me in left field.
Okay. When we talk about center field, and here's the benefit to the Angels. We mentioned first base and third base, and we have a great defender there, but we also have a great offensive player. So when we pick one or the other, we're not saying we don't need the other. And so when I say center field, I wanted to caveat and clarify that, because when I say center field, it's the up to middle defense. I think we need a good defender in center field.
Totally.
And we have the GOAT in center field, right?
He's the best that he's been in his career, I think, this season in center field, actually, except for maybe some of those younger years.
Isn't that remarkable? Like a 30-year-old center fielder, Mike Trout, is looking great. And I had a thought, this is a bit off topic, but I had a thought the other day about, you know, Albert was coming to the end of his time in St. Louis when he was 30, 31 years old, and then we signed him at 32, allegedly. And it'll be interesting to see how this season plays out for Trout and then what happens next year, because his trajectory looks very different than that of an Albert Pujols.
Totally.
And so it's exciting. Plus, he's really strong out in the outfield and making some incredible catches. So I'm going to go with defense in center field, John.
I like that, and I think I'll honestly go with defense in right field. I think about, watching Cole Calhoun against us this season, I miss him, and I know his bat is not great. He's batting something like .236.
That's okay, though.
And that's okay with the kind of stuff that he can do out there. Man, he can just make some incredible plays out there, and I miss having that in right field, especially after watching that Tyler Wade error. But that simply because Taylor Ward is out of the lineup. If Taylor Ward was in right field, it might have been a different ending to that game.
Sure.
Regardless, I think that if you're going to have somebody in right field, you want somebody with a strong arm and you want somebody who can move out there. Cole Calhoun is a great example of that. We've seen the best of Cole Calhoun with the Angels. I think that the bat has declined in recent years. So we truly got the most out of Cole Calhoun, I think, over his career as an Angel. So if I had to boil it down, I would say defensive right field, in my opinion. Okay. How about catcher, Mike?
Now, again, it's that dichotomy of, we're not saying that one is better than the other, right?
Do you want Martin Maldonado, or do you?
You know who I want? I want Benji Molina, and I want the offensive side of Benji Molina, because he was always the guy that would come through when you needed him to, and you knew that he was going to handle the pitching staff well. But take like last night, for example, like Max Stassi comes in and hits a double to left field, and even though Chad Wallach filled in nicely for him, it was just nice to have Stassi back, and that he was going to crush that ball. And so I think I'm going to lean more offense when it comes to the catching position, partially because I feel like we needed to balance this out, because those that are listening are going to go, you guys are ridiculous, right?
So I know.
All right, so let me recap here. So first base, we went more offense.
Yeah.
Second base, defense. Uh-huh. Shortstop, defense.
Uh-huh.
Third base, offense.
Yeah.
Left field, you said offense?
I think I said defense.
Did you say defense? Okay.
No,
I was paying attention.
I said offense. I said
offense. I thought I was paying attention. Center field, we said defense. Right field, we said defense. And then catcher, we said offense. So we lean more defense, actually, than offense, I think, in this game. If my math is right.
Let's
be
real here. The fact that we could talk about this, we can have this conversation and talk about how great the Angels are at both, I think that sets us up for a lot of success this season.
Oh, man, that's a huge win.
We're very fortunate to have players who can do it on both sides of the bat and in the field. As we move on to our last segment of the day, I think that this is a conversation long time coming, in my opinion.
Okay. All right.
So I was going to bring this up. Walsh playing at first base is just incredible. And we talked about this in the last segment. Just the way that he's able to make plays over there and also deliver on Walshamania and get us some home runs. And he's clutch, man. He just seems to hit him at the right time. Right place, right time. If we hadn't had released Albert Pujols last season, we might not have gotten the Jared Walsh that we have now. So it got me thinking, and I texted you about this, and you thought it would make a you thought it would make a great conversation for the show.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about the Albert Pujols effect.
Okay.
What players were moved to another position, or even worse, another team, because we had Albert Pujols playing first base.
Yeah.
There's four that we can think of.
Yeah.
Do you want to start us out, Mike?
Yeah. CJ Krohn.
Yep.
Is the first name that came to mind when you and I were talking. And he has been an interesting player because he wasn't bad for the Angels.
No.
I think he hit like 3 or 4 years in a row where he had like 15, 16 home runs. And he had a lot of like potential, but we really just didn't play him that often. And then he went to Tampa and he played really well. But right now he's having a resurgence in his career. I think he was either leading or he was in the top three in home runs. He's playing for the Rockies right now.
Yeah.
And we had to let him go. We traded him, I believe. And so
for Renjifo.
It was for Renjifo. You're right.
Came from the Rays. Yeah.
That's right. Huh. Who won that trade?
We'll find out.
It's not over yet. That was the appropriate answer. Yeah, I was a huge fan of Krohn, and I felt like he really could develop. But because we brought in Pujols, which, let's be clear, we have hindsight to look at, but I think we would make that deal every single time in 2012 because it's Albert freaking Pujols, right?
Sure.
And so, but CJ Krohn was one of the players that was affected by Albert Pujols signing with the Angels,
and then
he ended up getting traded and moving on. What's another name, John?
Let me bring it back to around 2012. In fact, 2010, 2011, Mark Trumbo.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the TNT boys, Trout and Trumbo?
Yes. Yeah.
Trumbo got moved around a lot. He was playing first base. We signed Pujols. They tried him over at third base.
Yeah.
They tried him in some outfield, which I think they actually, it might have been left field.
So it was left field, yeah.
There's your offense left in the outfield.
Yeah.
But, man, Mark Trumbo was really great for us for the 2 years that he got to play first base full time. And then he was part of the trade that moved Tyler Skaggs over to the Angels. Trumbo went to the Diamondbacks, but also Santiago was part of that. It was a three-team trade with the Diamondbacks and the White Sox. So we got Santiago and Skaggs essentially for Mark Trumbo. So in the end, it was a good deal because we got some good pitching back, but makes you kind of wonder if Trumbo would have been part of a winning team or could have helped out that 2014 team. I know, actually, now that I think about it, I think that was Pujols' best season with us was,
I think he had like 40 home runs. Yeah.
Yeah. That year. Yeah. So maybe I'll take that back. Let me rescind that one.
Yeah.
Who else, Mike?
Well, real quick, here's a fun nugget about Trumbo.
Yeah.
Did you know that he played third base the entire game when Weaver pitched his no hitter?
Oh, that's funny.
He played third base the entire game.
And didn't cause a hit or
an, and didn't
or,
and didn't mess it up
didn't
yeah
mess it yeah up. Yeah, wow.
So I mean, what an athlete, right?
Yeah, like, that's, no kidding,
that's pretty impressive.
He comes, all right, here's another name. He comes running in from third base in that big hug at the end of the video. Yeah, you're right.
Yep.
Dang, that's crazy.
A little nugget for you. Okay, here's another name. G-Man Choi. He has kind of been the Angel killer when he's played for Tampa. And we never really got to see him develop. He was only on the team for like a hot second, and then went to other teams. And actually, he's having a really great year this year. But it seems like he has been somebody that has really figured us out, and that's typical of us trading away players. Then when they play us, they end up becoming like Mickey Mantle. And and so J-Man Choi is another name that would have been interesting to see. I get why they let him go, because we really weren't sure what we were going to do with him, and we had Albert and other players. And so he's a name that I'm always intrigued by, and what he's doing in Tampa is really fun to watch.
I want to hear you say G-Man. It's G-Man Choi.
G-Man Choi. I put J-Man Choi, didn't I? Listen, but you're the English teacher. You have the English degree, and I'm helping you out. You have to correct me on the podcast every time I mess
don't
it
want,
up.
I just don't want G-Man, the G-Mans to come after you. Is that the name of his fans?
The G-Man fans.
Last one, and of course, this one is an interesting case. Kendrys Morales. Mm. Now, Kendrys broke his ankle before we signed Albert Pujols, and it took him a while to come back.
Yep.
In fact, I think it was 2012 that Kendrys was able to return eventually. But he ended up going to Kansas City, or was it the Mariners first, and then Kansas City, and then Oakland for a little while.
Yeah, he jumped around a bit.
He won the World Series with Kansas City. He had quite a resurgence with them.
Yeah.
But he's somebody that we look to as somebody who got replaced, so to speak, by Albert Pujols. And I think the biggest thing here, Mike, that is a little bit frustrating is that these are all homegrown Angel guys. They came up through our system and didn't have a spot because of where Pujols was playing. And again, like you said, with hindsight, of course we're going to make that deal in 2012. He would have predicted it would have turned out the way that it did. But I also think that you made a great point in how Mike Trout's trajectory at around the same age, allegedly, as Pujols, is going to look very different. And I think that's one thing that we can hang on to. Let's put the past in the past. It's 2022, and we have a great team rolling right now, and we're very fortunate to be part of it. So this has been a fun conversation. Any last thoughts there?
No, I just keep picturing in my mind that terrible day when Kendrys hit that walk-off.
Oh,
it was a Saturday Fox baseball special, and I remember like getting so stoked when he hit that walk-off, and then he jumps on the plate and he's not getting up, and it just took the wind out of our sails, and it just took the wind out of the sails for the season as well.
Angel fans have PTSD every time somebody jumps
onto
home plate. Yeah, I don't care if you're on an opposing team. Don't jump on home plate for a walk-off, guys.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
Well, Mike, one thing that we love doing is sending our listeners to their second listen of the day. Where should we send our listeners today?
A great podcast is the Locked On MLB podcast, hosted by our friend Sully. He brings his unique perspective on the major leagues past and present, and his podcast is free and available wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for making Locked On Angels your first listen of the day. We appreciate you letting us into your ears and on your screen so that you can join us and talk Angels baseball. I just want to say that we really appreciate every single one of you and love having conversations with you. And we know that we just do a silly podcast, but we hope that this has been a positive part of your day.
Yeah.
If you want to give us a follow, please give us a follow on Twitter at Locked On Angels and connect with me and Mike on Twitter and Instagram at Super Halo Bros. Mike, what do we have on deck for tomorrow's episode?
All right. Have you ever wondered about the guys that we have traded away? We've traded them away and we have this really kind of regret because we see them play so well with somebody else. So tomorrow we're going to talk about two Angels that were never really Angels and where they are now.
Sounds like a good conversation. We hope you'll join us for that. Until then, my name is John and that's my brother Mike.
And my name is Mike and that's my brother John the way in Chicago.
I'm in Chicago. Cubs are out of town, unfortunately. I think we might just stop by Wrigley and check it out. So I'll keep
sounds. Sure.
Yeah, exactly. I'll keep you guys posted. All right. We'll see you tomorrow for more Locked On Angels.